Hey guys.
Welcome to another episode of Pew Time with Tony.
And Jackie.
Whew.
Is this a test?
Yeah, the test is it's gonna be cold soon. I'm sure you're thoroughly excited.
I hate the cold. I'm infuriated. I want like 15 blankets, a space heater, and to not work until March or April. Yeah, but then I don't have to leave the house. So you can go to the grocery store.
It's supposed to be like 30 degrees tomorrow most. But then by like Friday, it's going to be like 80 degrees again.
Then I'll go outside.
All right, guys. So this show, we have a little bit of gun news. Tons of questions. You guys killed the questions on this one again. Thank you so much. A little bit of our week in shooting, and we're also going to be joined a little bit later by our friend Steele Oliver. He comes back for a little catch-up chat to let us know how his very first three-gun major went. He went and shot the Memorial three-gun match. So we'll hear from him in just a wee bit. But first...
Gun news.
Gun news. You had something.
Yeah. I mean, it's 32 days and counting. ETS, the magazine manufacturer, has announced that in 32 days, Omega will arrive. Steel feed lips and frame, factory reliability, and superior visibility. The world's best magazine is coming, ..
Duh. So, what is the...
The whole back end is see-through clear, and the rest is made of metal.
The whole body is metal?
That's what it looked like by the picture. You can't tell. It's a very limited visibility. Like you can see the back of the mag and maybe the top six or seven rounds at the back of it. And the metal feed lips and the side looking like it's metal.
Interesting. I can't see them making a $20 magazine and then a $100 magazine.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to be going out for, but it's called the Omega, and in 32 days, it will arrive. That is all it said. So, we'll find out more.
Okay. Interesting.
Another item that came out this week.
Yep. A few days ago, got an email from Taurus. They've come out with the Centurion. Just kidding. They've come out with their version of it, and they're calling it the 917C.
For Centurion.
I'm sure. So it's a 9mm that holds, which is weird because it holds 18.
So full-size grip, compact.
Yeah. So the 917C, it's basically a Beretta. It's one of their 92 copies.
Mm-hmm.
Short little barrel, 4.3-inch barrel, 18-round full-size grip, like you said. Frame-mounted safety. MSRP, $599.99. So $600. I'm a little confused. I looked at it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be dope. At first, I thought it was a compact.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got excited.
Yeah.
And then my excitement kind of fleeted my body when I saw that the front sight was...
Drastically and very quickly.
Yeah. When the front sight is still part of the frame like the old 92s.
Yeah.
Have we not moved past this?
Apparently
especially
not.
For a $600 gun.
Right.
What are Berettas right now? You can get a regular 92, the 92X, just the base model for what?
Under eight,
yeah. I don't know what kind of, I don't know their thought process behind it, but I'm sure there's still some. Street price probably going to be $5.
Yeah. Oh, that is the shortest gun news ever.
Well, I mean, there were a couple where we didn't have any, but.
The shortest gun news week ever. So, our week in shooting, we had some fun.
We did. We had our inaugural, or annual?
Annual. This is their sixth annual.
Yeah, so annual zombie shoot.
Yep. Small, local, not even really like a club. A bunch of guys get together. It's not like a sanctioned match or anything like that. Just a little outlaw club that gets together once.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club.
No, I'm there. I hate you.
Doesn't mean we don't hate you.
No, everyone loves me. Mm. And maybe they don't love me after this last one, because the role I played in the zombie shoot was, in addition to like getting everything set up, making the flyers, you know, designing and making the certificates for you know, first, second, third place. I also had the opportunity to stage plan and design probably 70% of the course, which was awesome. And the first two guys to run it, I assume we're going to be just blazing through. It's headshots only, one shot per. They're tiny little, those little dessert plates.
Yeah, so paint the picture. They're regular IDPA or USPSA targets with little dessert paper plates, white ones, stapled to the head boxes.
Yeah.
Or anywhere on the target, really.
We had them on the head boxes. Yeah. Double-sided sticky tape, so they just right on there. We had swingers with no shoots in front of them, freestanding targets with one, two, or three zombies on each target stand. So there was a 32-round course, and they were, the range is relatively small, all things considered.
Yeah, they were packed in.
They were packed in, like little zombie sardines. I even made a zombie child, like a tiny little itty-bitty 3.5-foot high target. Children are not immune to zombie bites. It wasn't mean.
Well, in that case, neither are midgets.
It could have been a midget. Are you allowed to say that? It was a child.
Well, let's see. What's more dark? A midget zombie or a baby zombie?
I know you've seen zombie movies. Children can be zombies as well. Anyways, headshots for everybody.
I get what you're saying. I've also never seen a movie with a midget zombie.
Oh my God, you're right. So it probably was a child.
Statistics would say yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then the instructor that runs the whole match, our director, he had a contraption made. It's a long board that has about 10, 12 target stand sticks sticking up out of it. And when you click the motor on, the entire thing rocks back and forth to the left and right about 6 inches in either direction. So when you have 10, 12 zombies on this thing, it looks like a herd of zombies, like stampering around back and forth. It's absolutely awesome. It's a challenge. It's so much fun. And the first couple guys that went through the course, after they had to pick up several makeup shots and hit 1 to 2 no shoots each, said that's a lot harder than it looked.
Yeah, even the swinger. I talked to a couple friends, and they're like, oh, swinger. I was like, yeah, but the swinger's got, like, what are this one? 1, 2, 3, 4?
He had 4 zombies on the swinger, and then 2 no-shoots.
Right in front of it.
Yeah.
Like, you literally had to wait until it... You couldn't even really catch it at the dwell on one side, but it was... If you wanted to do it with any haste, you were shooting it in between the no-shoots.
Yeah.
So, yes, you did a very, very good job at annoying people. I mean, setting up stages.
And I shot it. I shot it a couple times. It was fun. I placed High Lady. I was also the only female. So,
Is this the first year they did Iron Optics?
We did it one other year before, where we did. You know, there's so many different divisions. We're hoping for a big turnout, but it's usually our regulars. So we did irons and optics. Irons shot in one division. Optics were another division.
So the whole night was just one stage.
Yeah.
You could just shoot it as many times as you wanted.
Right. And your best time went into your final score for the end of the night. And I did not place very well at all. I think I was like third from the bottom out of eight. Third from the bottom out of 8, so 5th out of 8.
Yeah, but it was hard. And did you have any no shoots?
I had one no shoot.
Oh, okay.
I lied. 2. I had a no shoot on my first run and a no shoot on my last run. My second run, which is the middle run, it was my best time and best overall score.
So I'll be honest, I did not want to get up and shoot that day. I was like, man, I really don't want to put gear on. I was really busy. You know I was busy that day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? We only do it once a year. I want to go out there and support it. And I'll run it twice. I'll run 1 iron, 1 optic. I'm like, oh, crap. That means I got to bring 2 guns. And I thought about it. I'm like, no. No, I don't. So I ran over to our area where we keep our carry guns. And I was like, shield plus. Then I ran over to our bins where we have everything nicely organized. Thanks, beep. To the bin that said shield plus. And I picked out and rummaged through and I found my iron sight upper. I was like, I have iron sights. And then on my shield plus, I have an optic slide. Like this. This is meant to be. So I grabbed the QVO holster. I grabbed my Neo Mag. And the guns and the slide. Off I went.
And one mag shy.
One mag. Thanks, Delro. I did have to borrow a mag. And luckily, our buddy Dave carries a shield plus. So actually, I would have been okay. Mm-hmm. It would have just been a lot more...
Don't miss because you don't have rounds to make up with now.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of fun. And
it was. I shot irons first, and I shot that one a little... I shot it pretty good, I thought. I actually don't remember my score. We have them here somewhere. You were sitting on them. You moved
them. Oh, yeah, I did move them.
Oh, so, shot irons first. I let the gun cool down because taking the slide off after shooting a bunch of rounds becomes hot very quickly. I forgot how this is scored. It's not scored very well in the time-wise.
So, 30, the red dot sight, or you're doing the irons first? So, iron sight, you ran in 33.68.
No, that's irons. Oh, this is irons.
Mm-hmm. 33.68 was your time. And it's 5 down for a miss and 10 for a no shoot. So you either missed 2 targets or you hit a no shoot.
I think I was down 2.
Okay, so.
So I did a raw time 33.68 with 2 misses, 38.68. So it's basically time plus scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put the optic one on and like an idiot, I was like, it's time to go fast.
It was about a second and a half you shaved off that.
It was. And then it quickly became not advantageous when I had 25 points down.
Yeah.
Because it was definitely a couple mics, and I think I hit 2 no-shoots.
Yeah, so that'd be... with 2 no-shoots. So it'd be 1 mic and 2 no-shoots then.
Some combination of the stuff. It was not as good as the first one.
Right.
So the fast guys, like Delro and a couple of the other guys, were... trying to break 20 seconds.
Yeah.
They were the 21s, 23s.
Yeah, 21, 22, 23, I think, is where they maxed out.
Yeah. So I ended up taking second place in iron sights with my shield plus. And I got this cool little certificate that someone made.
Someone very creative.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it was a very nice certificate. You did a good job.
Thank you. So, I was mostly excited less about the shooting and more about what was going on the back end.
Yeah.
But I loved everybody having, like, a really great time shooting. You know, watching everyone, like, be super competitive and try and, like, run it faster and faster.
I was glad I dragged my ass away from the house to go shoot it.
I am too. It was fun. It was nice to see you. Everybody was happy to see you.
It was good to see everyone.
Well, that concludes our week in shooting. Unless, am I missing anything? Was your shotgun shooting last week?
I don't remember. It's an ongoing thing right now.
Another project gun, guys. Project gun.
Technically, I've had this gun, so it's not really a project gun.
No. It's forever a project gun because it's...
It's not true.
You just talked to me last week about things you bought for it.
Yeah, but I bought that so long ago. So long ago.
I didn't say you bought a new project gun. I said you're working...
You said new project gun. Or another project gun.
Another project gun. Oh. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. All
right, guys. So, let's... About that time. Let's have our little chat with Steel real quick. And, yeah, we'll catch you guys in a second. Hopefully you guys enjoy this part of the interview and hang on after the interview we hit these questions that you guys gave us.
And the CCCs, and boy, are they good.
Yes. What's up, dude?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Guys, welcome back our friend Steele Oliver. He was just on not too long ago introducing himself and kind of what shooting means to him and what it's done for him in his life. And he has just recently shot his very, very first
major
three-gun match, the largest three-gun match in the country. And you decided that you were going to make that one your first major.
Yes. That is true. I shot a Memorial three gun back in early October, and it was a lot more than I was expecting, but I would not change a single bit about it.
That's awesome. We'll jump into that in a sec, man. But what you been up to since our interview last time?
Ooh, since last time, went to New Hampshire for the Adaptive Defenses Shooting Summit. We sponsored two guys to go up there, Jake and Ryan, to get them introduced and being, I guess, brought into the community of adaptive shooting because they had never been around other people with similar lifestyles. And they absolutely got hooked. I talked to Jake almost every other week. He's always telling me about new matches that he wants to go and try out. So it's awesome to see that that worked well for him. Started a new job and shot Memorial three gun, and that's really about it.
That event that you were at in New Hampshire, there were quite a few people in that event that I spoke to after the event that they were really impacted by it as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I got introduced to, you know, adaptive shooting sports. That was my very first competition I ever did was there this time a year ago, and it's kind of crazy to see the impact and I guess the drive it has on some people, because it's kind of hard to believe it's only been a year, and within that year I've met so many great people and got to have what I would feel is like once in a lifetime experiences. So knowing that the event is having that impact, it just goes to show in the community involved with it is, you know, it's doing its thing. It's working.
Yeah.
Yes. Man, it's crazy to think you've only been competing a year.
No, a little over a year now.
A little over a year. And then you shot your first major and RO'd a major match.
Yep.
Man.
It's a lot.
I would definitely say that that qualifies as jumping in with both feet.
yeah, absolutely. Possibly head first.
Yes. So let's talk about the match, Memorial Three Gun. Let's start in the beginning. Did you do anything special to prep for it?
I tried to do as much dry fire training as I could. I signed up for Joe Farewell's Dry Fire Mastery Crew. And that has helped me a lot in becoming familiar with my firearms and manipulation of them. And it definitely showed during the match for a couple of the stages. Aside from that, with ammo being as expensive as it still is, I really didn't get that much live fire in. But the dry fire helped me for the most part. And aside from that, just mentally reminding myself that I am going to be the only person in a wheelchair competing there, and that I can't focus on how other people are stage planning, because the way that I approach things is going to be entirely different from them.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and just, you know, also remind myself not to be discouraged too, that I'm there to honor, remember, and memorialize the honorees of each stage.
Yeah, 100%. It's probably one of the coolest things about that match. And it's why, it's honestly probably why it's the largest, because it draws in not just a lot of people, but it draws in a lot of the heavy hitters in the three-gun world.
Absolutely.
So, back to your prep, what did you do? Like, what was your dry fire like? I know obviously you don't want to give away everything that they talk about in his course, but like, what did you focus on? Like, was there a certain platform? Was shotgun more of a focus for you than pistol or vice versa? Like, what was the focus?
So over the past year, I've felt pretty confident working up with my pistol. So for Memorial 3 gun, I mainly focused on my shotgun and rifle manipulations, mainly shotgun. I'm still new to being familiar with an AK platform, so running my Dissident is something that's still new to me as compared to like if I were to be running some form of AR-12. Or like a Genesis or something like it. On the AR platform, I've been using that for years. So I really wanted to focus on just practicing reloads with my shotgun. I'm not really able to run the super long box fed mags like most people because I have a gear tray in front of me. So I'm limited to either the drum, which is like a 23 round capacity, or coupled 12s. Since they're around the same height, and that's it. So I really wanted to practice just reloads with that and get familiar with them.
Was it a little bit of a transition from like the AR platform to the AK platform? AK platform, getting those mags in consistently, was that where your struggle was with the angle?
Yes, that, and it was still a struggle to win the match too. I definitely had some hiccups on a couple of the stages. And that's something that I've been working on since I've gotten back as well, just getting ready for next year.
Which Dissident do you have? Is it based off of like a KUSA gun? So you still have the rock and lock?
I have the KL-12, so the Vepr 12.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I decided to go with that one since it has a last round bolt hold open. I've gotten pretty familiar with knowing what that feeling is like on an AR. And so I figured by me making that decision on the KL-12 that it might give me a little bit more, I guess, familiarity with that platform.
Okay. I guess it's one of those things like we talked about last time, things I would not think about. Like, you can't use the full size banana mags on those
Oh.
KL-12s because they are enormous, right?
Yeah, there were definitely some people that were running them there, and some people had issues with them, and some people didn't. But I mean, regardless, I don't even know how I would fit that onto my gear tray.
Right.
Was the gear tray in the way during like just like standard rifle and shotgun reloads? Is it hindering?
For one stage in particular, it was we had a all shotgun jungle run to where I think the stage plan, if I remember, it called for like 48 different shotgun targets.
Oh my gosh.
I know which one was pretty crazy.
And that definitely did get into the way when I had to double up my shotgun mag holders, and then I was running coupled mags to try and get the most use out of the tray. So having them sit up like 4 or 5 inches off of my tray definitely got into the way. And it kind of forced me to get into some uncomfortable shooting positions, which is exactly why I have my offset red dot on my shotgun, is for uncomfortable shooting positions. And so that definitely paid off. I'm just not that good at shooting. So I ended up missing a lot. But no, it did get in the way, but I'm a firm believer. I'm just playing the cards I'm dealt and making the most of it.
No, did you right now? I would just look at that as R&D, right? You're going to make your tray better. You're going to maybe figure out, like, hey, maybe we have to angle the tray down so we can actually have the magazine hang in front of us or something.
Oh yeah, I already have blueprints for the 2.0 design, and I know what I got to do with my foot plate that way it doesn't scrape as much. So yeah, there's a lot of changes that are going to be made to my wheelchair to hopefully make it more efficient for me.
Very cool. Yeah, because I shot one of those Rock Island AR-12s in a match, and I had the big 18-round, 20-round mags. Dude, even having it like clipped onto the pocket, it's like walking with a splint. They're so big. It's so bad. And then trying to swing them around to like load them, it's you're gonna have a lot of testing involved. Unless you can get the drums to work, that might be in your favor.
I have gotten my drum to work on my Dissident really well. I don't think I've had a single issue with that, aside from just it being heavy once it's, you know, fully loaded. Okay. I know by the end of that jungle run, my shoulders were on fire from holding that shotgun.
I can imagine. Now, in the jungle run, did you have was someone pushing you?
Yeah, so I brought my buddy Zach down there with me, and he pushed me for both days of shooting.
Shout out to Zach, man.
Yeah. I definitely put him to work going up and down hills, and, you know, he was getting stuff out of the trailer and getting me all set up. Zach is a really true friend, and I'm glad to have met him this past year, and he loves shooting just as much as I do. So I'm sure that everyone will be seeing a lot more of him. Typically, whenever I go to a match, he's always trying to find a way to see if he can too.
That's awesome.
Did he shoot this match as well?
No, he did not. He had to return to work. Him and I work at the same place. So he had to return to work and get ready for our grand opening. Mm-hmm. But he said that he will be shooting it next year.
Nice.
Good. It looks like there were 10 stages. You guys split it 5 and 5.
Yeah, so I think on our first day, we actually ended up doing 6.
Nice.
All of the ROs and match staff were pretty on top of it, from my understanding. And we ended up flying through that first day. I think we were done with our 5 stages by like 2:30 or 3. And so the match director gave us the option to, you know, hey, if you want to go shoot another stage, you can. And our squad decided to. And so we ended up shooting 6 the first day, then 4.
That's a nice split up. It's nice to finish the second day, which is usually more exhausting than the first, on a shorter day.
Yes. Yeah, I was definitely beat by the end of the 2 days of shooting. But I kind of had to remind myself. I was like, well, now I have to work it for the next 3.
Right.
But that, you know, like I said earlier, that was almost more fun than shooting it, in my opinion.
Okay. Is this your first time ROing a match?
I guess like officially ROing one, yes. You know, granted, me being in a wheelchair all day, they played to my strengths and they put me driving the Jeep for all of the competitors on stage 7. Which, I mean, it was super cool. It gave me a chance to also keep everything fair between all of the other shooters, because they only had one driver. So that kind of got rid of any chance of someone saying, well, you know, it wasn't consistent or this and that. But, you know, working that stage really gave me a chance to see why people are shooting the match. You know, obviously everyone wants to be competitive, but having everyone listen to the stage brief and listening to about the page that a family member or loved one typed up about the honoree that was designated for that stage, seeing everyone sign the banner, and then, you know, things not going their way, but them just remembering who that stage is for. I mean, that's what it was all about to me. And especially seeing some of the Gold Star families come out there as well.
That's awesome. I can't think of another match out there that kind of has that
vibe, that atmosphere. Totally different.
Absolutely. It's very powerful, especially at the ceremony. But yeah, it's very kinetic and powerful, emotional, especially if someone is shooting just as like a regular competitor, and they happen to knew the honoree during their time here. That's where I, got a little emotional about it. But it was awesome to see though.
So walk us through your match, man. Walk us through your day one. Was it any different than the local three guns you've shot? Did you feel intimidated where the stage is dramatically different?
I definitely felt intimidated. I felt very out of place. Seeing some of the names on the squad roster prior to getting there, I saw a lot of very popular names in action shooting. And it was difficult not to get into a mindset of, well, I'm an amateur in a wheelchair surrounded by professional able-bodied shooters. That was very difficult for me. And I will say, even throughout the match of at least just me shooting during those 2 days, that mindset still came up. But, hopefully it quickly had gone away. And I was just remembering why I was there. The stages were amazing. Granted, there was some stuff that I wasn't able to physically do, like get inside of the airplane and move throughout the aisle, or get up into the tower or inside of the heli. But the match directors and the ROs were more than welcoming to figure out how I can still get the most out of the match and ways to accommodate my physical limitations to still shoot the match and remain competitive. And I don't think there was a single part of any stage that I did not do aside from the airplane one, and they let me shoot the majority of the stage from the ground, and then Zach was inside of the plane doing the stuff over the berm, like from inside of the plane, and that was it. I did everything else from the ground, or making accommodations to still allow me to shoot the stages. And I don't know if they were getting annoyed with me, because I apparently I kept on apologizing, and I think that's where they were getting annoyed. But I just wanted to keep things fair amongst everyone else that was competing, because I didn't want anyone to look at me being there and automatically think or know, oh, he's going to have it easier because they're bending the rules in this way. So I was still trying to find ways to make it as fair as possible for whatever, I guess, variations of how I shot stages.
Yeah, I can tell you at least on my end, most shooters aren't thinking that.
No.
I'll tell you, if they are thinking that, they just suck.
Yeah, shame on them.
Not, I mean, not only shame, like, dude, you're complaining about the one thing that may be advantageous to him. Like, all right, just take the jungle run, for example. Who out of the two of you, if you take a regularly able-bodied person and then you take steel, out of the two of you, which one's going to have a harder time on the jungle run? Shut the fuck up. Conversation over, full stop. Next question. Nah, man, I think it's good on them, good on the staff for accommodating you, and good on you with going through with it. And Zach for handling his portion, he didn't let you down, did he? Did you shoot good?
To be fair, he hadn't shot in like a month, and he just got, thrown into it. There was no practice runs or no warm-up shots or anything.
Well, what was he supposed to do, right? Like he showed up and now he's being voluntold, like, nah, you're gonna have to jump in an airplane and shoot.
No, I loved having Zach there, man. Seeing him have almost as much fun as I did, like that made me happy too. Because, I was taking time away from his schedule, and he wasn't shooting it, which, like, I feel kind of bad. But you know, him and I talked about it after the match, and you know, he still had a blast doing it and interacting with our squad and everyone else. So it was cool to hear that though. It was kind of reassuring.
That's awesome. So when you took a when you were done, how'd you place?
Oh, I placed 207th.
Out of
I can't remember because my laptop just died in front of me.
worry, we have the technology. Oh, dude, 268?
Not
Yeah.
not terrible.
No.
Not bad at all. That's about where I usually land in the pack.
Yeah, man, that's nice. Oh yeah. Well done.
I mean, I already knew going there. I was like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with like these professionals. Like that's just a given fact. But I still wanted to try my best, and you know, I guess the saying giving them a run for their money doesn't really apply to me, but you know, same concept.
Damn it. Oh,
Well, that's
see
the goal, right?
that is an acceptable pun. Oh my God.
Like when
Oh.
I shot my first nationals, I didn't go to be competitive. I went for the experience to have a great time, to shoot my first nationals, to experience something larger than anything I've ever been able to experience before in the shooting. And oh yeah, I ate shit for 3 days straight, but yeah, I had the most amazing time. It's really eye-opening too, right? To be surrounded by, all these top-level shooters and just to watch them and like be in their presence, talk to other shooters about their stage plan and how everybody did. And obviously this match for you is completely different because it had a different type of feel to it being a memorial match. I feel like they were probably a little less like cutthroat competitive. No? No, am I
No.
wrong? Was it?
No. There were definitely some
I can tell you by the
unhappy
names on the top of
shooters.
this list that there were people on there that were very, very competitive.
Yes. There were definitely kind of onesies and twosies that I don't know if they had forgotten what the match was about and willing to look past a poor shooting performance on their end. But there were definitely some crybabies there. I'm not gonna say any names, but
I think
I
that's
mean, yeah.
probably, I mean, that's probably gonna be true for any match, like anywhere. Yeah.
And there was one individual that for the stage where I was driving, someone had said that something was unfair about being on the back of a pulled trailer and target acquisition, and the timing of it just was wrong. And then I showed him the video of me shooting that same stage from my wheelchair on the back of the trailer, and it instantly shut him up.
Right.
See? See? It's like my number one example.
Yeah.
Please let me provide you proof with Exhibit A. So, when you work the match, I get this a lot from guys in USPSA. They give this feedback that when they work their first major, getting to see like the super squad level guys, like the pros come through, is one of their favorite parts because when we're competing, we don't get to see that. But you got to see it.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was wild, honestly. It's kind of weird like seeing the squad shoot and move as well as they do, and then reminding myself that one of my primary end goals is to shoot so well to where it doesn't matter if I'm in a chair or not, and still being able to keep up with them. Seeing them shoot, that goal completely got blown out of the water. I mean, they are just so damn quick. But it was incredible to watch. Like, knowing how much time and effort I have put into like my dry fire like regimen, I can't imagine the amount of hours that, you know, some of these guys and girls have on the range, just to become as like smooth and efficient as they are. I'm like still hearing them say, "Oh yeah, I still gotta work on this," but what? Like what? But it was awesome though, especially seeing, you know, I think three branches had their shooting team there:
Very
Army,
cool.
Navy, and Marine Corps. But like them, and then just all of the super squad guys that you were talking about. It was cool. It was very cool.
You had one stage of those 10 that was like your absolute favorite for your performance. Which one was it? And tell us a little more about it.
Ooh. I think stage 7 was the one that I ended up working was probably my favorite. There were a lot of challenges being in my chair that were immediately like recognizable. But off the rip, Zach and I were just brainstorming on how to go about them. So for that stage in particular, you started at the top and you had to move through. It's probably like 20 feet worth of just moving inside of that box. You had an activator for two swingers, and you had a plate rack at like 50 yards or something like that. The activator is a couple inches tall, so my foot plate ended up scraping it hard. But Zach decided to just pop a wheelie and kind of like slam me down on it to get to activate and just muscle through it.
Awesome.
And there was also like a half wall that I wasn't able to see over for targets 2 feet away on the ground. So I kind of had a Slav squat in my chair and just stick it over the wall and do point shooting. Actually, I have a picture of that somewhere,
Nice.
but
Good. Not
I
over.
didn't realize how silly it looked until I saw the picture.
Don't worry. Someone else has to do that when we have high ports.
I always have to do that. It's like a spray and pray, cross your fingers. I know the targets in this general vicinity. There we go.
But I think the best part about that stage was moving to the trailer. And this is where like the ROs and mass director really showed that they cared about my experience there. Because I told them, I was like, you know, there's no ramp up onto the trailer. However, it's still low enough for, you know, a couple of us to muscle up and get the chair up there. And I just wanted to keep things fair. So I told them, I was like, we can either time me from, you know, this shooting zone to the trailer and add that on to my total time. Or, you know, if y'all really want to, we can find a way to get me up there quickly. And my time is just what it is. Originally, they come back with, well, no, we'll just do it in two strings. So they'll stop the time when I'm done shooting the rifle, and then they'll start it again on my shotgun one. I was like, well, that takes a lot of time out away from them. And I think they really respected me saying that, as far as I still wanted to keep it fair for everyone. So we got up onto the trailer and, you know, I started shooting from my wheelchair, off the side of the little barricade that they built for the stage. But it was so cool to move and shoot, considering I hadn't ever done that. Even when I was able-bodied, I never shot from a moving vehicle or off the back of a platform or anything.
To be fair, you are a moving vehicle.
Oh,
You probably had more experience shooting while being moved than anybody there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a way to look at it. Just a rolling technical.
So, in case you didn't dive in and look, I went and looked and I wanted to see where you placed on stage seven. Do you know where you placed on stage seven?
No, I have not looked at any of the individual stage times.
So you placed 181st.
Oh, wow.
Actually, that was your second best stage of the match.
You beat out 85 people.
Your best stage was stage 10, was 119.
Wow.
Wow. And I have not dived into the individual stages.
That's great job, dude.
Guy's like the practice score wizard. If you leave him alone long enough, he'll memorize everything you've ever done.
Like statistics.
No, I did not know that though. That's pretty cool and reassuring to hear. I'm not gonna lie.
Let's enter this. Well, we'll go through it together. We'll get together and I'll show you how to navigate practice score a little better.
Please.
There's so much stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of numbers.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought you were looking at show notes for another question.
I was,
Oh.
but you interrupted me.
Oh, I apologize.
All right. So clearly, you're going to do it again next year.
Yes. I will definitely be doing it the same way. I have seen the amount of work that goes into the match and the impact it has on the Gold Star families. And I refuse to be a part of this match as just a regular competitor. I always want to help with it moving forward. So I will be shooting with the staff again next year as long as there is a spot available for me. And even if not, I'll probably find a way to still end up volunteering to help with it.
You keep volunteering, there's a good chance that they're going to have a Jeep in at least one of the stages.
From what I've heard, that is a stage that has been there for the last 6 years. So,
Yeah, driving one in the tower, and actually I think the helicopter, those are kind of staples for Memorial. Did they announce 24's date?
not yet. I did see something in a Facebook group about them posting major three gun matches, and apparently Memorial is already on there. I haven't had a chance to go in and look at it yet.
Okay. Well, if we could find a shotgun that Jackie could swing around and be somewhat
Efficient with,
yeah.
at least semi-efficient. I have a, I'm very tiny.
They make short-barreled dissidents.
Not for this communist state, they don't.
Oh.
Yeah, now we gotta work on compliancy. Yeah, that'd be a really hard one to actually find something that would accommodate
Oh no, I mean, we would definitely have
and be
to
semi-auto
borrow someone's.
gun out of that lives out of state that can
Yeah,
legally own
of
that
course.
gun.
Bet you Steele can put in a good word at this and be like, hey, can you guys just bring like a loaner gun? I got two people coming that I need to shoot.
And the owner of a Dissident was there at the match.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So our friend was at that match too, and he shoots for Dissident.
Oh, who?
Jay Carolla.
I'm terrible with names. What does he look like?
He had a very, very flashy jersey. He's very short, but very, very fast.
I think I know who you're talking about
Yeah,
now.
his dissident is like gold and black.
Yep.
Yeah. That's Jay. That's our buddy Jay. He lives up by us. He's an awesome dude.
That is one thing I wish I kind of got a chance to do was talk with the other squads a bit more as they had came in, just to see what their thoughts were on the match and all that. But I know that there's a very tight timeline that needs to be kept for moving that many people through, 2.5 days.
Yeah. Well, at least, I mean, You guys were ahead of the ball on the first day, which is good. The first day that you guys shot.
Yeah.
Were the competitors, when you ran the competitors, were they seeming to be ahead of schedule like you guys were on staff? Or was it more like tight ship on schedule?
It was kind of hit and miss. There were definitely some parts of the days where squads were behind or we ran out of daylight. There were also times when, you know, our squad that just got done, they were on top of resetting and everyone was ready and they just kept it rolling smooth. And, you know, we ended up waiting for our next squad to come for like 30-ish minutes.
Oh, wow.
It's compounded with three gun, the hit and miss aspect, because their stages are so much longer. Their resets take longer. But when you have the super squad, who's generally stupid fast guys, they're done rather quick. Mm-hmm. And then you have the mid-pack and, like, lower-level just enthusiasts that shoot. It takes a little bit longer to reset the stage plan. Mm-hmm. So it's even worse. Because I think the total time for even one of the fastest guys out there was 560 seconds total,
which is roughly a minute per stage because there's 10 stages,
and that's actual just runtime. You think about it, we look at our stages,
our
whole match is a minute and 20,
right? Like,
yeah, fine. Damn. How many stages do y'all normally shoot?
Usually six.
Six at a local, yeah.
Damn, that is insane,
right?
I need to start shooting more of that though.
Put that in perspective, like that's. Yeah, it's hit or miss. I can see with three gun where it's, and that's, that's why a lot of three gun places, it's hard to do a three gun match because
you need space. You need a lot of space.
You need space, and you really need to be good at the schedule part.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like Cross Creek. They have three small action bays, and typically squads consist of like 12 to 14 people. I mean, it's just three stages. But, you know, we're out of there by like 1-2 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. For a local, it's easier. Yeah. But those majors, I mean, that's why Memorial's been around. They have the best guys that do it. But even then, you can see like, oh, shit, we ran out of daylight. Like, it just happens because the stages are so long and they're so involving.
Yeah. You're saying that, you're out of there at a three stages. You're out of there around 1:30. We shoot six or seven, and we're out of there around 1:30. Like the magnitude of the plot of land that you have to play with, like it's going to take longer, you know, roughly double the time per stage.
If you thought there was a lot of waiting around at a USPSA match, a 10-3 gun.
So I shoot pistol.
All right, Steel, final thoughts on the match. Just like how you felt about it. I mean, we talked about the impact the match and what it stands for had on you. But what about, you're obviously going to attend it next year. Is that going to change your training at all? You do have equipment plans changed, I can tell already. Probably too soon to be talking about it, but just like, next year, what's your plan for it?
This coming year, I'm really going to end up focusing on getting rid of bad habits. I know I have a lot of bad habits with handgun and rifle shooting. I just want to be the best shooter I can. But at the same time, everything that's happened in this last year has made me realize that my purpose is to help others. And at the end of the day, I don't really care how I place in matches. I still like to be competitive, but I just want to help others. And this match, on like a final thought, is me leaving there for 2 days. It had me speechless. And my first thing was to call everyone that had gotten me to that point. of having it a goal to shoot a major three gun match, let alone the largest one, and being the first guy in a tier to do it, and thank them for it. And every single person I called, I still ended up crying talking to.
Wow.
It got to a point where I just started sending, you know, heartfelt messages, because, you know, I still was driving on my way back. But that match is, it is something else. Like, there are no words to describe it to its fullest extent. And anyone that wants to know about this match needs to attend it, not just hear it from other people.
Very cool. So we're going to see more Battle Buddy shooters at Memorial next year?
I'm hoping so. That was, you know, one of the goals of going there, was to pave the way for other adaptive shooters. I think like 9 months ago, I told myself I wanted to shoot a major three gun match. I didn't know that would be the largest major three gun match. But you know, I went there to prove a point, and that's the point being, is that you are only not going to be able to do something if you tell yourself that it's not possible.
Are we going to see some video footage coming out soon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of GoPro footage. Not so much cell phone stuff, but I
like first will be person making camera that. from your point of view on it.
Yes.
Fantastic.
For the stages I've remembered to turn it on.
It happens. Shame on you.
I have been getting better about that though for any match I've gone to. But yeah.
Awesome. And I know that not everybody listens to every single episode. So if our listeners are listening and haven't heard your initial interview, we'll find out what that interview number is for you in a quick second here. But how can they find you, Steele?
They can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Targets of Steele, spelt as in my name. So Steele. And also Battle Buddy 3 Gun. You see my ugly face on there quite a bit. As Frankie says, there's a face for radio. And
hey, Frankie's one to talk.
Well, people loved you on the last episode. We had you on the podcast, and this is radio.
Which was episode 143.
143. So if you've not listened to 143 and you want to know a little bit more about Mr. Oliver, listen to episode 143.
Yep. Awesome, man. Well, thank you for coming back on and talking to us about your major match. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Footage. We need footage.
Yes.
Yes.
People demand
video footage. Proof or it didn't happen. Yeah. That's what they say. Didn't happen.
Cool. Well, brother, appreciate it. And well, I'm sure we'll have you on here again shortly.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much.
So much.
All right, thanks.
Welcome back, guys.
It was a pretty good interview.
Very good. Very, very good. I loved having him on the show the first time, and this time was like just as exhilarating. Like, so much good stuff.
Yeah. Still, I'm super proud of you, bro. And I can't wait to see the video footage.
Yes. Me too. I've been begging him for that.
Alrighty. On to questions.
Yes. So this week in our questions, we put up a picture of me shouldering a AT-4, 84 millimeter rocket launcher.
It says picket launcher.
Well, good thing I was talking from the heart and not reading the notes.
Hmm.
Or I would have said picket launcher. So with that picture, we asked everyone to submit questions and CCCs for tonight's podcast. One response to that was, will Tony be getting you that for Christmas?
So funny enough, tell them, what's the first thing I asked you?
The second that picture sent through on your side of the phone, you said, can we buy that?
Yeah. I would definitely buy it for Christmas.
And
For
apparently
sure.
you can find like deactivated
Sure.
ones.
Yeah, they're at like army surplus stores.
So
So.
it was super cool.
Yeah.
And I was taught like all the things you should say, like when you're preparing to shoot it, you know, making sure your back radius is clear because there's a 45 degree blast radius behind you. So you say, you know, clear on the right, and they say clear on the right. You say clear on the left, or is my left clear? And they say clear on the left, and then you say right is clear, left is clear, and then disengage the safety on the top and ignite,
Booming.
hit the boom button, the big red button, hit the big red button. And from what I'm told, it is not as like, you know, you think like you shot a rocket launcher, you're gonna be like thrown back. It's not as impactful as you would think, like shooting a rocket launcher. But I was shown how to like, you know, take the knee and get the proper stance and where to hold it, and it's really cool.
You really should have just started running around like all Call of Duty with it. Like, oh!
Oh, if I did Call of Duty, I would just be walking in a circle pointed up at the ceiling. Yeah. Let's not get into me and
That.
video games.
It's a perfect reel.
They're like,
I don't know where I am!
hey, homie, bring that launcher back. Where are you guys? Are we even in the same map? Where are you guys? So funny.
If you were helping someone set up a USPSA rig, what would you tell them to get? Let's assume they're shooting carry optics.
We're actually just talking about this because I have a friend that wants to get into competition shooting, is unsure of the division yet, but I'll just say, Sergio, if you are going to shoot carry optics, listen to this segment and take note.
No, listen to the whole episode, Sergio. Don't listen to her.
Yes, the whole thing, every moment of it. I really like my Black Scorpion gear belt for rigidity, but I think that I want to try the Lynx belt next year.
Do
I do.
you? Okay.
You know, I've seen a handful of our friends wearing them. I like that yours is so compact and you can kind of like roll it up. So I do want to try it. You know, obviously I don't need to stick with it the whole season if I don't like it, but I do want to try it. So there's that. As far as holsters go, I mean, basic, easy, entry level. You can get a CompTac holster. They do have like a belt, like a hole you put through the belt, so you can use that, or you can get a Boss Hanger from Bunsteggers Pro Shop and do what I did and attach the CompTac holster to the Boss Hanger to have a drop. Make it a little bit easier for the draw, so you don't have to come up quite as high as the belt for the draw. And currently I'm running the Ghost holster, which I really like a lot. You're gonna have to help
Hydra
me.
P plus.
Hydra P Plus, thank you. And I like that one. I've only shot it, what, maybe 3 or so months worth of matches. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. There wasn't, I liked that it had a lock. So a little more security than just a bucket, a traditional bucket. Because it is technically a bucket, right? That the bucket just has a lock on the outside. Like it has a shell around it
Which I'm gonna say it's a
to
race holster.
simulate a bucket.
Yeah. You lost me on that. It's a race holster with just a piece of plastic around it.
Yeah, to simulate having a quote unquote bucket,
Right.
right? To make
To
it
abide by the
carry optic
rules.
legal. And then my mag pouches that I like the absolute most are Black Scorpion gear. They're totally adjustable in like every single direction you can imagine. There's a little cup on the inside and it rotates on a circular axis, and you can,
Kind of a little ball joint.
yeah, thank you. You be my words. I'll act them out with my hands, and
Guys
you can tell them what I'm saying. You're
don't
my
want to see the motion of her hand right now. What kind of socket? Bar socket.
right. So it's like reverse interpreting. I'll sign
Yeah.
stuff about my holster, and you'll tell them what I'm signing.
Bars, cup bars, bars, no,
Cup, cut,
socket,
socket.
ball. Oh!
So those are like my absolute favorite mag pouches. I have tried the ghost pouches. I'm not a fan. I used to run CR speed pouches, and that was like when I first started out and I was strictly doing production. So I had five of them. I never had any issues with them. They're very sturdy. But I liked the adjustability as I started discovering where I liked my gear.
Those CR speeds are pretty adjustable. If you take them off you're never shooting production again, I don't think. So if you take them off that belt and put them on your new belt, you'll probably like those still.
How about you?
I don't like to complicate things really. You for a holster, get whatever's in your budget. I would not really go below like a Comtech would kind of be where I would start. And you can get those for about 45, 50 bucks. They come with a offset if you want already. It's a little plastic one. It's actually not little, it's quite big. But it places the gun in like a weird outward cant, like away from your body to where the muzzle's pointing more towards your leg. So the Boss Hanger is very good. It's another nice upgrade. It's relatively cheap. Mag pouches, I think Ghost makes the best entry-level pouch on the market. Their Ghost 360 pouch, you can decide whether you want bullets forward or bullets out. They come with their little D-ring or their D-clip, which is like their version of Tech Lock, or their belt adapter. And for a belt, I like having a thicker, more sturdy, rigid belt is the word I was looking for. More rigid belt.
He likes it harder.
Harder. Anyway, I do like the Flex or the Flex. Jesus. The Lynx belt. If you're a bigger guy like me, the Lynx belt is a must for me. It's easy to size up for yourself, it's easy to put around you. And that leads me to my next thing. If you have the Lynx belt, a ratchet system for me is an absolute must. I think the other way just it doesn't hold it tight enough. If you have any other belt system, you can get a basic, even the Shooter's Connection two-piece belt is a good starter. You can usually get those for 50 bucks. When Jackie and I first started, we got ours on sale at Midway USA for $20. It was a Black Friday sale, I think.
Which is just around the corner, so keep your eyeballs peeled on
Right.
all the deals if you're looking to get anything that you're going to be investing in as far as the sport goes.
But if you like having something that's a little bit tight or adjustable when it comes to how tight it's around you, a ratchet is a good upgrade. You can pick up ratchets for 20 bucks. And then another piece, if you want a Cadillac upgrade, it's not a necessity, but it might make you feel pretty cool if you have it, is a magnet.
I was thinking that's where you were going with that.
Yeah. It is nice to have, and it makes a little makes organizing what's on you a little easier. Like, for example, your starting mag, if you're not exactly sure, like, oh, am I gonna take it in my pocket? Like, it's right there. And the very first time you ever, 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 ever shoot a mags on barrel stage, you're gonna be like, fuck, I'm ordering a magnet. So,
That's
yeah,
funny.
that's.
Those are our opinions. That's what we use. That's what we like and don't like about the other things. And there will be a video coming out in the not so near future, not so far future, not so near.
Distant
Ha
future.
ha ha! Not so distant future. Words are hard, okay?
Clearly. She hasn't been drinking, I promise. Next question.
Which also means there's no caffeine in me.
Oh.
What is the best Italian comfort food? And why is it lasagna? Feel like they just asked and answered their own question. So we can move on. Or we can say manicotti and stuffed shells are a very, very close there with lasagna.
See, I think lasagna is just too big of a too broad of a range. Because you can have your traditional lasagna with like ricotta, like, or you can have the hearty, like,
Meat.
meaty, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the tale of two tales. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, ricotta.
Ask the Italian how to say a cheese.
Yeah, lasagna is up there, I'd say. It's
Lasagna is it. My Grammy used to make lasagna for me every year for my birthday when I was younger. So, like, her lasagna with like lots of ricotta is like my absolute favorite.
See, I'm a sucker for almost anything with tortellini.
Oh, tortellini
So,
is a good one. And stuffed shovels,
yeah.
like, and it's because of the ricotta, like that. I'm like, Nyan, give me then all the cheeses in all of the forms. If it's a type of cheese and it can be put into with a pasta and a sauce, I'm all about it. Bring it on. So, that's it. Saucy, shelly, cheesy. Nom noms.
If you could make the ultimate burrito, what would you put in it? Keep in mind, this will be the only burrito you can have for the rest of your life. Were you drunk when you were typing
I
these
copied
notes?
and pasted. They wrote three rested your life. I promise you. Go look on Instagram. It's there right now. I literally copied and pasted.
Watch them like run and edit it real quick. Like, oh,
Right.
it's not.
That's not what I said.
All right, what are you doing?
I'm going to
Jackie is torn
do.
right now because she's been a steak burrito girl forever. She has just transitioned to trying chicken burritos, so I know it's going through her mind. She's like, I don't know.
Oh, I would for sure go steak.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't dislike the chicken burrito I had. It was more macro friendly, right? That's why I tried it. I wasn't disappointed, but it wasn't no steak burrito. Yeah, steak burrito, rice, chunks of tomato, guac,
Yeah, it's easy.
beans.
A steak burrito with everything.
Yeah.
Like, why change
Someone
that?
asked me the other day if I got it with onions. So if that's a thing, no. If onions in a burrito is a thing, and I just wasn't aware of it, the answer is everything but onions. Because I thought that was a very weird question that someone would ask me, because I don't remember ever having a burrito with onions in it. Is that weird? Is that a thing? Burritos with onions?
I don't know.
Either way. All the things, but no onions, and that's my burrito, and that would make me very happy. And yes, sour cream in there. All the things. How about you? Your burrito of choice that you must only eat that burrito
I already said it.
forever.
Steak burrito with everything.
Oh, samesies, samesies, which is fantastic.
Now, tacos? El Pastor. I mean, I could eat that all day. I love that stuff.
But we're not talking about tacos, we're talking about burritos. So,
I do want some tacos now, though.
yeah, I totally want a burrito. All right, what does your we're gonna do that one at the end, aren't we?
We can do it now.
What does
What
your
is it?
division of choice say about your coffee
Oh,
choices?
shit. All right, go ahead.
So,
You made a list?
no, I went to how because we did it for last week's.
Oh.
Calm down, calm down.
Oh, she's prepared.
Yeah, right. We weren't prepared last week, so that's why I went to last week's list of the
Start from the
divisions.
bottom.
Single stack,
Yeah.
black, no cream, no sugar. It doesn't even have to be hot.
Single stack to me is like
But not iced, room temperature.
it's that old like FUD military guy. Rawr, give me that sludge.
Sludge, yeah, in a tin can.
Revo?
Revolver, I actually see as
It's
that's actually
simple
a
for
really good
me.
one.
Revolver is simple for me. It
Okay.
is your grandpappy had it, and he usually had either Folgers or Maxwell House.
Fair. PCC.
There was that meme floating around where that guy ordered that chick's drink where it had like 42 different pumps of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That
Okay. Extra whip and caramel drizzle.
Yeah, and then she's got all this whipped cream and stuff, and then she's like, well, oh, almond milk. What?
Right, you have whipped cream on top. Carry Optics.
What do you got? Basically, whatever Jackie drinks.
I was gonna say, Carry Optics is gonna be like your cold brew with a flavored foam.
Oh, okay. Very hipster.
Like a, yeah, a newish.
Yeah, hipster.
Okay.
Hipster.
Do you know who turned me on to the cold foam?
Me, because it was
You! Because
tasty.
it was tasty, he says.
Listen, I'm not a huge coffee drinker, or at least I wasn't, and it said sweet
Sweet
cold
cold
brew.
foam.
Yeah, the sweet foam, and I was like, that sounds, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I always just do a cold brew black. Mr. Sweet Foam.
Yeah, it was good though.
Production.
Production to me is just your traditional, here's coffee, cream and sugar. That's it.
Okay.
Simple, basic, shouldn't have to change it ever. Much like the division.
That's funny. Are we doing Lim 10?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead, Lim 10.
Instant coffee.
It's. That actually makes.
Right?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Exactly. Like you want real coffee, but you're like hot water.
Rip, shake,
Right?
shake, stir. Done. Okay, Lim Ops.
Oh. Ooh. Go
So
on.
Lim Ops is gonna be like your mocha frappuccino, two extra pumps of espresso, hold the whip, almond milk instead. It's not gonna be like over the top PCC level,
Yeah,
but
not
it's going
floofy, but
to
you just want all the extra
it's
juice.
going to be a very specific request and add the extra go-go beans.
Okay. I could see that. Yeah, I could totally see that. I like that.
Yeah, that's my normal drink. Go on. Limited.
Limited, to me, because it's kind of like a legacy division, and it's the old guys that hated the technology, but were starting to come around with their own race pistol. This is an iced black coffee.
Okay.
Where it's not. We're not having that floofy stuff, but we're okay with having the race car parts. Just no optics and comps. That's like espresso and hot.
So I was going to say limited is like a six pack of Starbucks coffee from the grocery store or from the gas station on your way to the match. Like quick, easy. It's going to give you like so much go-go, and you brought extra.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
Being a little more simple.
Open, on the other hand.
I want to hear what you got for open, because I got something for
The
open.
espresso sipper.
You think so?
Yes. Look at how much goes into. We did a lot of research on it because we were looking at espresso makers. How much goes into fine-tuning and perfecting your roast and how you press everything
Yeah.
that goes into it? That open gun will not function if it's not perfect. All of the time and energy that goes into making those 4 ounces or 3 ounces. I think a serving of espresso is 3 ounces. A serving of espresso in a proper machine. All of that time and energy.
What did we say Lim Ops was? Your drink?
My go-go drink, yeah.
So I think we're going to upgrade Lim Ops because I really like your open one. And I'm going to use what was my old open one. I'm going to agree with you, but I have to change Lim Ops then.
Okay.
Because Lim Ops is for the psychopaths, right?
Okay.
And it's the new hot division. They want all the race car parts without having to have race fuel, like major ammo, or no compensators because we don't want to do tuning, anything like that. We want all the other go fast stuff. And they always seem hyped up on shit, right? They're always like the fast fuckers running around.
Right.
So I think the Lim Ops guys for the new hotness are the maniacs that brew their own coffee, but it's not water in the reservoir, it's Red Bull.
Oh my god.
Run through a filter of not a coffee filter, but a coffee filter lined with no-dos.
Oh my god.
And then their creamer is like a monster Java that they put in it as their creamer.
That's
a heart attack.
That's a little outlandish.
Someone's going to try it.
Oh my god. Not a doctor. We need to put a disclaimer at the end of this now before somebody has a heart attack.
Well, you watched that stupid video of me, didn't you? That guy had like 12,000 milligrams of caffeine.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. I have like stupid 800 to 900 in a work day and I'm bouncing off the walls.
No. If I have anything above 500, I'm going to the hospital.
Yeah, not me. My heart just starts kicking in around 500-600. Well, we had all the divisions. That's what type of coffee they would be drinking. And that was actually, that was so much more fun than the car one. That, like, really got me, like, I know it's the caffeine in me and it's the car in you. You probably like the car one better. I like the caffeine one better. The car one is just, I feel like you guys are, like, speaking to our souls. All right. Next question. Oh, geez. What does Thanksgiving look like in the Salas home?
Well, we went from really exhilarating and a fun question to, you guys are going to find this quite boring. We actually don't do anything at our house, hardly for Thanksgiving, because we usually go to other people's houses.
Yeah. When we do anything at the house, it's literally just like...
immediate
family. Mom, dad, brother, yeah. Like immediate family, and like turkey and a handful of fixins.
Yeah.
Like,
which is why we usually go to other people's.
Right. We go visit our godson.
Yes, like my brother Robert's house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a good place to have Thanksgiving. Done green beans.
Yeah.
You think like the green beans you have for the holidays, they got like the cream mushroom soup in them and like the French fried onions on the top. And it's disgusting. It's just a disgusting dish. But whatever magic Rob puts into it, I know it's called seasonings. Whatever it is that he does. He's
a little more involved with that.
Whatever it is that he does, it's like absolutely amazing. I could eat my weight in those green beans, but I won't touch anyone else's. How much longer till Thanksgiving?
Right. Yeah, basically going to Rob's house is like that video running around that people put up every year of the older black lady at the mic. She's like, turkey, potato. Yams, like she's like listing all of it. That's basically like going to Rob's house.
Yeah. All the stuff. All right. What do you look for when buying an EDC belt?
Rigidity.
Pinch poke, you owe me a Coke.
You just pinch me? The fuck?
It's a light one. I love pinch.
Mm.
I just. Stop it. You can't talk until you buy me a Coke.
I guess that proves that I love you more.
They hate
huh?
you. You fucker.
I just gave her the old Sebastian.
He claw pinched me.
rigidity.
Rigidity. We won't say things at the same time anymore because you can't take a fucking joke. You gotta pinch me back. Rude.
Why are you looking like you're trying to punch me?
I'm hiding.
You're clenching your fist. That's not hiding. That's an aggressive manner. Next question. Oh my god. I really think I'm.
Words.
I think I have tinnitus because there's severe ringing in my ear right now.
Oh. It's because I pinched him.
Yeah.
All right. Will Tony's quest for finding a race holster that fit the platypus ever come to an end?
Yes, as soon as I find one that fits.
That's when it will come to an end.
Yeah. I know of ones that fit. The Black Scorpion gear fits. The Flex fits with the round trigger guard for sure. I'm not sure of the square, and I'm going to check the CR speed soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully it ends soon.
Agreed. He's driving me crazy. Crazy boy. Crazy.
If guns could make sounds other than boom crack, I kind of like boom crack.
Mm-hmm.
When they go off, what would that sound be? Like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like a bubble, like a loud bubble, like a bubble gum popping. Less than like a bubble sound. Like you watch like a underwater movie and you hear like the bubbles. Yeah. So not like that, but like an actual like.
Yeah, but what would that sound like with my splits?
It's backfiring, it's backfiring.
I tried to think of something I thought would be kind of funny, and every gunshot sounded like
a fart.
No, that's normal, right?
It'd be funny.
It would be funny, but it would get really lame fast, I think.
What would it sound like if you got a squib, a silent but deadly?
A shark?
A shark. Did he shark himself? Give me a shark rod.
So, I think if gunshots made, every time they were shot, they made the Owen Wilson going, wow. 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 Wow.
Fantastic.
And then you have the really fast guys behind the trigger. Wow. 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 Fine. Read the next question. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Before you just keep going. If you were asked to design a red dot sight that was intended to be mounted on a pistol, what features would you want it to have? Relatively large window. Right?
Well, I guess it would depend what the optic is for.
It says pistol. To be mounted on a pistol.
Yeah. Is your competition optic the same as your carry optic?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Oh, look. I've made the question harder.
I found the flaw in the design. God damn it. So, I guess we'll have to do two. Right?
No, just do one.
Okay, so size outside. A size appropriated to the size of the gun you're carrying. How's that for a stipulation?
That's pretty good.
I would like it to have an external battery where you do not have to remove the battery. So, yeah. External battery slot. Easy access. So, I found out while I thought I was living my best life with a Holosun battery replacement. The Delta Point Pro, it can't get any easier.
They have to make it that easy because they kill batteries so fast.
No.
So you have to have a speed reload for a battery for it.
Well.
But it is very nifty.
It is incredibly convenient.
Yes.
Right? You don't have to carry the little tool around. You don't have to find a little flathead or something that's flat at the head so you can put your car key in there and twist it until you can get your battery out.
Now I know why the optics are all marred up.
I've never done that. Oh, I've never changed that out on mine. Mm. But I was thinking, like, if you were stuck in a situation where you had to change it and you didn't have a flathead screwdriver.
So for all you guys listening to this, if you ever see Jackie at a match and you need to change your red dot, don't ask her.
I keep tools with me. You can ask
her. I don't have anything. I have this car key. Let's try this.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Oh. Anyone got a file? I'm going to file down this car key to make
it fit. Oh, my God. Wow.
So, I would probably say I'm just going to do an all-around optic. It needs to have positive brightness switches,
mm-hmm.
but not big enough to bump.
Right.
And I would like a, just because we have the technology, I would like to see what a competition size optic would look like as enclosed.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Like an SRO or the 507 comp, but enclosed emitter.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be huge.
That's okay.
That's what she said. If you could only have one artist or band that played their songs on every walk-up and make-ready that you did, who would it be?
We're both thinking Sorry for the pause.
You could hear
Jackie
this.
forgot she was on.
You could hear the steam and the smoke billowing from our ears. I would think something along the lines of like Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay.
It's because I don't. I'm not, not a single song of theirs is coming to mind that isn't going to get me amped up. Like, have a really fast pace, and honestly, if I could aspire to have a trigger finger like their drum series, like,
Well, they essentially have a
I'll run out of
bin
ammo.
they essentially have a binary foot pedal. I mean, it's definitely a double
Then you have a
pedal.
binary finger. Make it happen, Captain.
No. Man, that's really hard. I would have to say a song that kind of just always like hits the turn up switch would probably be Metallica Enter Sandman for me. So there's a ton of other songs that I like, but that one always has. Just because there's so many motivational things on YouTube with that, and it hits different. So that would probably be that. Had a few CCCs.
We did. I'm not 100% sure what one of these is.
Right, so the first CCC. I don't know how we're going to do this, but it is our carry compete crush. It's going to be hard to put this into words, but basically have to pick one eye shut, front sight focused versus limp wristing versus flinch blinking every round that goes off.
So, if one of them was never a problem for you ever again, is that what I'm getting at?
No, I would say one of them you have to get rid of. Like, that's the one that'll never be around.
Oh.
One you have an occasional problem with, and one is a consistent problem.
Well, for me, the one I never have a problem with is keeping eyes shut and front sight focus. Like,
No,
I
I'm saying
always
like
shoot with
that.
both eyes open. I'm confused at the.
It's hard to do this one. I'm seeing it as this is the way that you have to shoot every day. This is the way that you can shoot in a match.
Oh, so I would for sure be putting limp wristing in the garbage.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay.
So what would be your competition way, and what would be your carry way?
My competition way would be the eye shut, front sight focus. And the carry away would be the flinch blinking every round that goes off. Can almost guarantee you, if you're in a concealed carry situation, and well, you're not gonna have eyes and ears on, first of all. You are for sure going to flinch, blink, and then shutter afterwards.
I mean, yes and no. There is, the auditory, like, neglect that happens when your adrenaline spikes. But yeah, I would pick the same thing, because I could just see the flinch blinking not being, I don't know, I just feel like I'd be able to, this one's like really hard to do. I don't even have a reason for it, because reasons I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, no, that, I don't know if that's the best reason. It's actually a detriment. That's the best I got. I picked the same as you.
So we have another CCC, which is the Rock Ultra FS 9mm, the Gersan Knoll 9mm, and the Kimber Custom 2. I'm going to assume that is also 9 just to follow suit with the other two. Kimber's going in the trash. Burn it. Crush it. What is it? Crush? It's a crush.
Yes.
Yeah, we're crushing that. I'm going to compete with the Gersan Knoll because that's what it was made to do. For no reason other than that is what I'm going to do, and then carrying the Rock Ultra FS.
I am gonna just swap the two. I think I'm gonna crush the rock and compete with the Knoll and carry the Kimber custom too.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a reason why?
I just have more, like, to me, even though as much as I dog on Kimber, their finish still feels better to me than Rock Island.
You like those red rosewood grips and no front strap checkering and just plain Jane basic, basic, basic? That's the thing you like? Well, this one doesn't have front strap checkering either. I'm like,
what the hell are you talking
about? They got G10s on them.
Yeah. Okay. You can just change those, can't you?
You're choosing a gun because of what it comes with, its features. You can change everything. I can put front strap checkering on all these guns.
There you go. Problem solved.
Oh, my God. You're not playing by the rules. I'm going to fuck you with my slipper.
She is hitting me, guys.
With my slipper.
Really hard.
With the top fluffy half, not the bottom shoe
That's
part.
That's not fluffy anymore. It was fluffy 5 years ago, maybe.
Do not hate on my warm slippers.
Hey, when you have a favorite pair, you got a favorite pair.
Very last one.
Yeah, this... No bullshit, I spit up water when I read this one.
Like, it startled me, because I came in going, what's wrong? And then I realized he wasn't choking, he was laughing. Go on.
CCC, polygraph exam, waterboarding, or transparency. So,
are we going to choose these as though we were the almighty themselves? And just... put transparency in the smasher?
No, you're going to pick them how you'd want to pick them.
No, I think I'd like to see waterboarding happen. But not to death. Not to the death.
Zombie children and waterboard. What the fuck is wrong with you?
They probably deserve it if they got to the point where they're being waterboarded. And I don't want to watch them die. I want to see it happen. I want to see it.
Okay. Well, unlike you, I would like to see transparency happen.
Oh, I just told you which one. I obviously have to crush one of them. I don't know. There's so much science in a polygraph exam. Like, they're interesting things.
Fine. Yeah, so you can do that one occasionally.
Okay, fine. So we'll get rid of waterboarding. Whatever. I can watch it on TV. It doesn't have to be in real life. Whatever.
What TV?
Like TV, like
what?
Like shows.
Stop. Just no. No.
We watched. They had waterboarding on an NCIS episode.
This is borderline like criminal premeditation.
Oh,
stop!
It wasn't criminal. Stop. It was Criminal Minds.
No. Just no. No more.
The guy that was with JJ was getting waterboarded. It's on TV. Either way, we can get rid of waterboarding. I'm okay with it. I like the science. And non-science behind the polygraph test, right? Because there's ways to cheat it. So we'll keep transparency.
Okay, next question.
Thanks for whoever submitted that.
Are you guys going to SHOT Show again? Yes, we are. Answered that question. Next one. Not shooting related, but more USPSA. What would be your method to fool a polygraph?
Fantastic. So, I've not done too much research into what specifically to do to fool a polygraph. I'm sure we can, like, Google it. And there'll be, like, a lot of different fun things. Are you Googling it right now?
No.
Oh, you should be. So, I feel like if you make yourself, like, very uncomfortable and you're spiking your heart rate at the baseline questions, right?
Sure.
Like... hurting yourself somehow, like pinching really hard.
Biting the inside of your cheek.
Doing something to cause yourself pain and increase your heart rate when they take those baseline questions and your heart rate is increased from that pain. Then when you get to the... did you spend $164,000 of this organization's money on blah, blah, blah? Yeah, if that was the thing you were in trouble
for. That's not what they're doing a polygraph for. Doing the polygraph to find out who's leaking information.
So they couldn't use it on the rest of everything else?
That's my point behind it. Sure.
Where does it end?
No, we can do the polygraph test, sure. Everyone should get asked about who's leaking the information. But then everyone should also get asked about the financials.
Mm-hmm. That's and, what I was getting at.
Yes. I don't know. It would have taken a long road to get there.
Oh my gosh.
But I do think that we should be open to that then. You know, if you want the...
If you want some of the truth, you get all of the truth. You can't handle the truth!
Okay, that was not bad.
Thank you.
That was not bad. On that bombshell, that'll be the end of this episode.
Thanks for joining us, guys. You're the best. And thank you so much for sending these questions.
Yes. Again, we will post up a picture of something asking about questions on Monday morning for us to record Monday evening for the Tuesday morning podcast to come out. So pay attention for those. You'll see a picture or something come up. Or you can submit your questions to us on any of the social medias at Laugh and Load. Or at the email, pewtimepodcast@gmail.com.
And you can do that anytime. It does not have to be Monday.
True.
We'll file them away and wait patiently for Monday evening.
Yes.
This has seriously been, like, the absolute highlight of, like, yeah, our...
Digging the questions.
Yeah. Absolutely loving them.
So, thank you so much, guys. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye!